He put on a breathe mask with a fresh pair of cartridges, picked up the beautifully wrapped and very difficult to unwrap ultimate bomb, picked up his travel kit, and left his office for the last time. All was ready outside. 500 Brigantes, bows protected from the weather, looking a bit huddled and cold even in their buffalo coats, had been marched up and now stood in the formation he had carefully pointed out. A total ring with its back to the atmosphere cable, a nearly solid wall of Brigantes. Captain Arf Moifi seemed to be the officer in charge of them all.
"Now you and your men all understand that you are only to use bows and poisoned arrows and knives or bayonets. There must be no firing of powder or blast weapons."
"Wie's Gartor dat?" called General Smith.
"Ah, good." General Smith and an honor guard of 6 Brigantes, all of them in air masks, were on the platform, armed with bows, which they were protecting from the snow. Turl looked around. It was a bit hard to see through these snowflakes and gusts of wind. He had heard a chattering from somewhere. What was that? By the Crap Nebula, the whole Brigante tribe was gathered down by the morgue to see General Smith off. Amazing. The women were all bundled up against the snow, and off-duty mercenaries were in among them. What a filthy mob. Good thing he was wearing a mask, for he knew they smelled awful. And there was Brown Limper Staffer and Lars Thorensen. They had come up on the plateau with a ground car and were standing there. The very people he wanted to see. Turl walked over to them. Instead of saying goodbye, or even, "Nice to have known you," Brown Limper Staffer said,
"I don't see Tyler."
Turl stopped before him. Brown Limper was all bundled up in some kind of expensive fur. Snow was falling upon his hair and collar. His eyes looked feverishly overbright.
"Oh, he'll be here," said Turl. "He'll be here."
Turl looked down at Brown Limper's feet. There was a case there, a fat case about 3 feet long.
"Aha."
Turl stooped, and before Brown Limper or Lars could stop him, picked up the case and, with a cuff of his paw, broke the locks. A Thompson submachine gun. So he was right to distrust this animal. One shot from this thing during a firing could blow up the platform. Turl took the weapon by the barrel, and with his paws bent it in a half circle. He threw it aside.
"That was not nice," said Turl. "You could have blown up the whole place."
Brown Limper didn't seem upset. His eyes still looked furtive. Turl took Lars's belt gun, took the cartridge canister out of it, and threw it 50 feet away.
"No firing," said Turl,
waggling a cautionary claw in front of their faces. Did Brown Limper have something else? Turl wondered. He looked quite unhinged, but not about the guns.
"Here," said Turl, in a cajoling tone of voice. "Here is a nice present to make it up to you."
He handed Brown Limper the thoroughly wrapped ultimate bomb. It weighed about 80 pounds, and as Brown Limper took it, he almost dropped it. Turl, in some apprehension, caught it before it could fall. Turl managed to smile as he restored it to Brown Limper.
"It's a nice gift," said Turl. "Open it when I'm gone, and you'll find the answer to your most golden dreams. Something to remember me by."
No danger in giving it to them. It would take them an hour to get the wrapper off. Then one lift of the lid and bang! No planet. Turl patted Brown Limper on the head. He glanced at his watch. Still plenty of time. He walked over toward the platform. Captain Arf Moifi called his men to attention. Turl marched on by. With a bold and martial step, Turl walked to the console. He reached down and closed the bus bar on the atmosphere armor cable. Snow flew up all along its length. Good. He was now safe. A solid wall enclosed the console and platform, and beyond that, a solid wall of armed bodies. He glanced at his watch. He had plenty of time. He walked over to the baggage and kicked his own kit into the pile. The Brigantes had brought quite a mound of air bottles for themselves. General Smith, militarily dressed in a buffalo coat, his diamond in his cap, his cross belts jammed with poison arrows, gave him a chest-pound salute. But he asked, "You gonna change de money for cure?" He pointed to a huge mound of money, brown limper notes.
"Absolutely," Turl reassured him. "Credits go where credit is due. Besides, you have me hostage, don't you?"
Smith was reassured. And speaking of hostages, Turl leaned over the long bundle and opened the top of it. Black, glaring eyes pierced him. He beckoned to the Brigante so assigned, and the man pushed an air mask on the face and shoved the bottle onto the chest. He buckled the bottle on. He had almost gotten bit. Turl looked at his watch. The time was coming up. He walked over to the console. He moved the toggle switch in the upper left-hand corner to the up position. He threw on the activating bus bar. The console's top buttons glowed. Turl sat there counting down the seconds. Then he punched in the long-since-memorized coordinates. He checked his watch for the exact instant. He punched the firing button. He reached down and activated the 10-minute time bomb. The wires began to build up a hum. Out of the tail of his eye, he saw a man rise up beyond the brown limper car. Somebody jumping up. Somebody in a radiation suit. Turl looked hard and suddenly realized it looked like and must be the animal. Ha! Brown limper had gotten his Tyler after all. He walked over to the center of the platform. The hum was building up. What joy to think of being safe on Cyclo in just under 3 minutes. 2. Brown Limper's snapper had seethed when Turl discovered the submachine gun, but the sight of the barrel being bent almost double had caused him to hold his peace. This huge monster was strong. So he stood there and accepted the gift. Actually, it must be gold, it was so heavy. He had no qualms about accepting gold, even if it looked like a bribe. He had earned it. But his mind was only slightly on all that. He was still looking avidly for Tyler. But he decided he would wait until Turl was safely at that console. He saw Captunk Arf Moifi salute. Saw the Brigantes draw up and begin to take poisoned arrows from the crossbelts. Saw the performance on the platform. Turl had somebody else there in the bundle. Tyler? No, it couldn't be Tyler, or Turl would have called out. Maybe it was Tyler. Maybe Turl was double-crossing him. No, it couldn't be Tyler. Who was it? But yes, it might be Tyler. They put an air mask on whoever it was. They meant to take somebody to Cyclo. No, it couldn't be Tyler. But maybe it was. When the snow had jumped up from the ground, Brown Limper had been slightly startled. But nothing had happened except that Turl went over to that bundle. Ah, finally Turl was going back to the console. Brown Limper had been told the wires would begin to hum. He would wait for that. It was hard to see in this snow. The white glare of it and the swirls and the wind gusts kept blanking out things. But he could listen. He thought he heard the hum start. He couldn't be sure. The wind was making sounds, and that Brigante mob was yelling goodbyes to General Smith. Brown Limper thought he had better wait until Turl walked back to the platform center before he moved. In the back of the car was another submachine gun. Brown Limper had thought of everything. The moment Turl reached the middle of the platform, Brown Limper would dive into the back of the car, get the Thompson submachine gun, load it, and race to that platform edge and spray the whole place. It must be Tyler in that bundle. Brown Limper stood there, holding the gift, waiting for Turl to walk away from the console. The yells of the Brigante tribe and the whirr of the wind made it impossible to tell whether the hum had started. He would have to be sure. He had better wait for the last moment. Then Turl couldn't rush off the platform to stop him. He didn't hear the thud of running feet behind him. Suddenly, two hands reached out and grabbed at the gift. A radiation-masked face and an air mask under the radiation mask. Then he saw the blonde beard through all that leaded glass. Tyler was right on top of him.
"Run!" yelled the face.
The hands whipped the gift away from Brown Limper.
"Run for your life!" came from the half-hidden face.
Then the man turned and, carrying the package, sprinted toward the hangar side of the compound. The figure was growing thinner in the snow, hard to see.
"Shoot him!"
screamed Brown Limper to Lars. He whirled. Lars was running away. He was already 100 feet away and half hidden in snow flurries. He was running as hard as he could toward Denver. But then something registered with Brown Limper. That voice. He knew Tyler's voice. Even through masks and shields, he did not think it was Tyler's voice. It had sounded Swedish? But Tyler must be around. Around someplace. Brown Limper tore his way to the door of the car to get the other gun. The door on that side was locked. With a whimper of despair, Brown Limper raced around the car. He had to get to that other gun. And even as he went, above the snow, above the yells, he heard Tyler's voice from the platform. Unmistakable. He must hurry.